Breastex, the Tuesday edition. The WhatsApp message says, Upper Cullum Rock between the Boy Scouts headquarters. There is no pedestrian crossing painted on the road, even though there are signs notifying drivers. And further down Cullum Rock, opposite Corporators General Insurance, there used to be a cordoned off section by the wall and a sign warning persons about probable danger. Now the structure and the sign has been removed, and there's a new remaining danger. There are pieces of wood nailed under the pavement, which were part of the cordon, and the nails are sticking out the pieces of wood, and they're dangerous to people walking, especially at night. Okay, so that's two dangerous spots along Cullum Rock. And somebody said that I allowed the caller to get away with a roll of nonsense talking about pensioners paying bus fares when government have given them that privilege and that the caller should give back 50% of his pension. Okay. I don't know what I was supposed to do, and I did ask him if, you know, people said they've worked all their lives and deserve to be traveling that way. I don't know that I allowed him to get away with anything, but okay, I guess. I wasn't strong or hard enough. I should have yelled and screamed at him that he was talking something I don't tell people. Brastax, good afternoon. You're still with
Mr.
me?
Mr. Johnson,
you're still with me?
Back, sir.
Good, yes. We were talking about transport. I hope you heard the news preview that talked about changes to our transportation system.
Yes. There's one other thing about silk transportation, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to the PSVs. I also heard the comment about the pension, but what I'm saying, Mr. Johnson, is that if you can afford to pay $2, you know what I mean? $2 might help somebody who can't afford to pay. I'm not saying you have to. It's voluntary. It depends on your conscience as an individual. I hope I'll never have to be a welfare case for this government.
But you don't have to
government.
Think. But you don't have to think of yourself as being a welfare case, you know.
But
sir.
I feel if I can pay my part, I'll pay my part. That's my voluntary.
No problem with that, sir. There's an elderly gentleman who calls. He says he's past his 70, who said that, you know, if he give a dollar to help his country, he would do so. So there are people who feel that way.
Yeah.
But there are those who also think that, you know, they've contributed and this is one small way that they get it back.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, the other thing about the PSVs, I don't know if it still persists, but I believe that the PSVs employers, whether they're conductors, drivers, or mechanics, I feel they should be paid according to a formal contract arrangement. You either pay them by the day, the hour, or the week. But I do not subscribe to this thing that you bring in the money and I take mine and send you back to get yours. That is a plantation habit that we must no longer encourage. Every workman is worthy of his hire. You decide and you agree on what your wages should be. And once that is that, then that's what you follow. I do not believe in this parata of it is foolishness. I don't think that is par for the course. And the Ministry of Labor should look into that and eliminate it. Mr. Johnson, recently we had, your station had a discussion on the matter of health, a health issue pertaining to a public figure. I don't want to go over it because, you know, these things can upset people. Mr. Johnson, the thing is this. We have a lot of health authorities, a lot of telling us about, you know, eat properly, eat your vegetables, eat your fruit, drink your water, get your exercise, come and get tested. All those are, that's good advice, Mr. Johnson. But if you do not investigate the source of the rising level of NCDs and these cancers and so on, all you're doing is feeding a system that you cannot control. I am saying there are two things we have to do if we are serious. One is we have to go to the port and make sure that we are no longer importing toxic chemicals into Barbados in the name of agriculture. There was an article written about this.
Why we have to go to the port to do it, sir? Don't we have other means of testing rather than going to the port?
But, Mr. Johnson, I understand what you mean, but you see, I've been calling on the Ministry of Health for the last 5 years to send their inspectors. They have inspectors whose job it is to go to the port. and inspect not only what's coming in, but the quality of what's coming in.
Well, you heard the comment I read from the lawyer who sent me the message early this morning when I started the program?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay, let me share it with you before you go on. The person who is a learned attorney says to me, and I quote, there it is, they don't usually give free legal advice, so I'm very happy to have received this. The Fair Trading Commission has jurisdiction over consumer safety in relation to consumer goods supplied by any person in Barbados. And the minister responsible for consumer affairs can issue safety regulations governing the supply of consumer goods and can make suppliers issue recall notices and can issue recall notices directly in cases where it appears the goods create an imminent risk of death, serious illness, or injury. It is an offense to supply unsafe consumer goods. Suppliers and directors thereof, where the supplier is a body corporate, are liable to fines or imprisonment or both where the offender is an individual. That's what the person said because of the going around that the female caller said about going to the Ministry of Health, then being sent to BNSI and BNSI saying Ministry of Health, and she was going around in circles. And the learned attorney sent me that note. So we have plenty of people who are supposed to be doing a lot of things. The question is, do they do it? And if they don't, why not?
Mr. Johnson, that is the key question. That is why I like to discuss these things with you, because you have analytical skills.
That's what it is? I thought I was just miserable and nosy.
Some people tell me I don't know when talking, but because, Mr. Johnson, when last have we heard, I live here in Barbados, and there was a time, and you remember this, when the Ministry of Health used to print in the paper that they encountered a shipment of A, B, or C, and it was found unfit for human consumption. And
including sugar.
You don't see it anymore.
Well, maybe they do it, but they do it quietly.
Huh?
Maybe they do it, but do it quietly. So listen, I am not disagreeing with you. Let me be perfectly clear on this. Because sometimes I say things and people don't get the change in my tone. Let me say this to you. To me, there are too many items that I am seeing that I have caused the question. I have seen cleaning liquids that I can't see a word in English on it. Maybe there's a word in English somewhere, I can't find it. So I don't know whether you could use it full strength, whether you go wear gloves, whether you can't put it on your hands or your face or your tongue, what to do if it mixes with another. None of those things are on it, but it's being sold. And you're talking about, for example, suppose I don't know that this cleaning, whatever it is I'm using, should not be used to clean knives and forks. And I clean my knives and forks with it and give you to eat, what can happen? If it's injurious to your health, what can happen?
Well, Mr. Johnson,
when your tongue turned green, what can happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, Mr. Johnson, your problem is this, sir. Me, in the last year or so, you would be conscious of the fact that there are several food products that we have picked up from international news which were defective. One was a baby milk formula from France. We had corned beef problems.
Yeah,
we had corn flakes problems.
We had cereals, and, not corn flakes.
And they have serious bacteria. When you have salmonella is a dangerous bacteria to be on any food product.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had all these things, but there was no local announcement about them.
Apparently, we're God's people. They don't come to Barbados.
But that's right. But let me finish by saying this. There is a paper here. I have it here. The Barbados Advocate. Love the Advocate. Saturday, August the 25th, there is a headline that St. Vincent suspends importation of pesticides containing glyphosate. Now, 10 years ago, the World Health Organization issued a report with a list of pesticides and weedicides and herbicides that were considered dangerous and cancerous. And the Barbados Ministry of Health and all those concerned had a chance to put their foot down, and they never did anything. I want to commend the government of St. Vincent for having the courage to not only what they have there to suspend the importation and use of pesticides, including just Roundup and all these kind of things, and Gomoxone.
Well, Trinidad put legislation in place about Gomoxone because of the frequency with which people have it as a lunchtime cocktail.
Well, that is another problem. But we out here who don't like it as a cocktail, but still picking it up in our vegetables, and our water, and in certain in our meat, we're getting contamination of high levels of growth hormones, and also what they call the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the problem is, Mr. Johnson.
Start with something simple.
You're going to buy these things and use them because they're in the package and look pretty packaged and they got nice labeling.
Which is why I was about to tell you, start with something simple.
Yeah.
Bottled water. Do you know anybody or have you known people who've bought bottled water, right? Keep it in their cars, leave it in their cars with the cars closed up, or sometimes take it with them. Put tap water in it and put it back in the fridge a few times and freeze it and carry it about. And when you look at the bottles, they tell you, don't do that because the bottles degrade.
That's
right. Are biodegradable. But we do that.
Johnson, I wish you were a teacher or a professor.
I tell you, I can't teach. I ain't got patience.
Because we need to, and Mr. Johnson, let me say this. You see, you know why I'm so concerned? Because all these NCDs and all these kind of things we're taking are being triggered by these toxins we're taking in, we're killing the birds.
Yeah,
we have the ground doves up here, I don't see them anymore. Butterflies, honeybees that pollinate.
Fireflies.
All these kind of things are dang up, Mr. Johnson, for more environment. And as a friend told me, when he came back here from overseas, he said me, he used to go to 2 funerals a year. Now he's going to 3 a month. So that is an indicator that we have to pay close order of what is going to our mouths. I myself have had some problems. I don't want to go into detail. But I have a habit now of everything I can cook, when you peel it, I smell it. Even onions. I cut an onion the other day, and it was so strong or something like straight diesel. Any type of onion to me. And I, in those cases, have to dump the stuff. But even if you can't, the Ministry of Health and ask them to investigate it, they ain't going to do anything about it.
Oh, you
and
know
they're
that.
Spending tons of money on healthcare hospitals and nursing and opening late and opening early. And we're not getting to the root of the problem. We have to get rid of these toxic chemicals from our environment.
I can't disagree with you. Anything that you put in your mouth should smell good. If it don't smell good, you shouldn't put it in your mouth. Brass Dax, good afternoon. 4341790, Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Clearly.
Yes. Now, I would like to advise anyone who's been around for quite a while to spend some time observing small nature. The insects, the lizards, the birds, the ground, but they don't see. All those things are around my place, and I look at them. But on the other hand, what I want to hear say is I've never had a conversation with you on the radio. And as much as I've been on radio since 1962 when I live in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And I have listened and you are pretty articulate. But the one thing I would like to say out of my experiences in Barbados, and I'm now going to be 78 years this year. Mm-hmm. And I really like the lady who is 100 years that said, I did not know that I was somebody. There are hundreds of people out there who don't know who they are. They too themselves should be brought out of the woodwork. But what I would truly want to say today is I listen.
Okay, we're losing our calls periodically. I'm not sure what's causing it. This call has also gone silent for a while. And I'm not sure.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Right.
Can
go
you
ahead.
Hear me now?
No, can hear you clearly. Go right ahead.
Yes. And I listened to that debate, if it's called a debate or if it's called an introduction to something else new. But I listened to Dr. Allen last night. And the one thing that he said, which was pretty clear in most of our minds, is as to whether or not what he was saying last night would have been just another talk shop or program because Ralph Thorne said this will not be a talk show. I have to believe that Ralph Thorne is right. It will not be a talk show. You will have something coming out of this. You know, I've lived in the wrong. I've studied in Massachusetts. I lived in Canada. I worked there. I was a policeman in Barbados. And there are some things which I do not understand in this country. Like everything else, this country, which is my country and the land of my foreparents, have been invested in this country from about 1820. I know that. The records speak, and even before. But what I've been finding here is that, you know, this thing called integrity is something that has been missed in Barbados for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's still this kind of thing called adverse slavery, where people who came out of poverty, who might have had a father that they never knew or a mother, who might have been fair or fairer than other people, assumed the role of an authority on their intelligence and their wealth. We are all the same. And nobody could or should assume that they are brighter than you are, because even if you were digging the gutter, as I can quite clearly say on this day, I have about four top students who are young people in their 19s and 20s who are scholars in Barbados and on the other side of the Atlantic. They're coming out of my mother's progeny. I know that for certain because I knew her skills. And these are the people that displease me. Mm-hmm. What I have here is that when you have to deal in Barbados, let me put this to bed, Dennis. This is kind of a digression because there's so much information, but I live in Canada. Mm-hmm. I had an issue in Canada. It was incorrectly done. I had to go to court. I did lose my case, but I didn't lose it because I left and I appealed it to the member of the Canada and appealed it to the Attorney General of Ontario.
Right.
The Ontario Attorney General sent my case to the Chief Justice of Ontario. That's 4 years after I had left the place. Mm-hmm. The Chief Justice of Ontario, I was in the prison there for about 3 months, and I got a call from the Chief Justice. And he said to me, his secretary said, "We have written you. Why did you not respond to us?" I said, "But I'd never got your letter." Apparently the letter was written, but it was not passed on
to you. Mm-hmm.
The next day, I got that letter. It came coming from the dark then. And the dark said to me, "Yes, you have received this letter." And I spoke to someone in the Chief Justice's office. Mm-hmm. I hired an attorney. Because then, you see, we had attorneys who would pass through the system and ask people the question, "Do you have a problem?"
Right.
Now, this is called bono gratius or whatever mm-hmm. you may call it. But I still had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And I wrote my complaint. And I wrote my objection to what had gone on. The Chief Justice of Ontario, we had a trial. I was acquitted of that because it was not a trial at all. But I am saying here that it was an area of very expensive and high technology. And most people, even black people, do not believe that we can do things. And when the police talked to me, well, I said, you know, I said I was a policeman. He said, "But you should have told me you were." I said, "But if I told you, or you would have a case to put to the judge to tell him that he was a policeman, and the judge would say, and he should know better."
He should know better. That's usually the response. Yes, it is. So you may have found yourself in even deeper trouble than before. Interesting having the chat with you, sir. It's time for us to go to the lunchtime edition of The Latest. And we'll be back with your calls on this, the Tuesday edition. We go until 1:30. Stay with us. 4341790, the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Couple of WhatsApp messages asking, what will stop people from pulling the sticker off your license plate? I don't know. I don't know how it will be affixed to your license plate, so I don't know if it will come off or not, or if you would have to buy a license plate with the sticker engraved on it, as some countries have, which would mean you have to buy a license plate every time you pay your insurance. Someone else asked if they'd have to go to the licensing authority 11 times a year if they pay their insurance in installments. And then the one that asked if about the free movement of people, because of the story coming out of the of St. Vincent with Hitman, a hitman allegedly moving between the countries. I've said on this program on more than one occasion that freedom of movement should not mean freedom of entry, one, and two, that the people who seem to know to move freely are those hell-bent on criminal intent. They don't even use the regular ports of entry sometimes. You know, so Vincentian police obviously were alerted. Means that the intelligence community in the Caribbean is working. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. 4341-790, usually after the news break. I know people go off and wait until the radio comes back up. So we're back up. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling here in connection with the news that we were just listening to with a new fine for the insurance payments.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if they're looking at those insurance companies that are not honoring the obligation to the person that was involved in an accident. I had an accident with my car, and the only compensation I'm getting from the insurance company is that the guy didn't come in to report the matter. I mean, I would have called the police. So there are avenues there for the insurance company to know the accident did occur. So I don't know. It seems as though they're trying to shift their obligation to the person that would have insured the vehicle. I just want to hear your views on this.
So this whole question of insurance policies, how they're managed, the period for compensation, is an area of great concern to me. I find that there are too many stories of people being told, we're waiting this, we're waiting that, and going around in circles, and a seeming hesitancy to pay. And that's why at the start of the program, I mentioned the fact that with government sending out this online petition asking about agencies and whether they're viable or not, I have several questions about some of the agencies we put in place and what they do. Because there must be some agency or agencies that regulate the operations of insurance companies, whether it's the Financial Services Commission, whether it's the Fair Trading Commission, whether it's the Office of Public Counsel. Somebody has got to say, look, if you have a claim in and these are the requirements and you've met them, this is what you do by X time. And if you have to run behind your client who has not done what they're supposed to do, well, you know, there's a period of time at which you should do that, other than tell people go and get a lawyer and take it to court, because we seem to be having a problem with how the insurance companies hold up their end of the bargain. I hear it too often. I don't know whether it's true or not, but I hear it too often for it to be just, you know, a one-off situation.
Yeah, but Dennis, mm-hmm. What would be the job of the supervisor of insurance?
Well, this is my point, which is why I said watch the regulatory framework, whether it is the supervisor of insurance, whether it is the financial services. Who is it that's supposed to make sure that insurance companies live up to their end of the bargain? And if you have a supervisor of insurance, what's their remit? I agree with you. You should be able to say there is a complaints body, this is who I go to, and this is what the regulation states, that by X time, this is what you should do. If a claim is made on your company, you are the person who covers Mr. X or Miss Y or car number Z. These are your obligations under that, and this is how the time frame in which you're supposed to do something about it. You know what's amazing, right? We've had cases in this country that I know of where people from overseas have been involved in accidents in cars in Barbados. And not only have they been paid, the insurance company in one case closed down. So I know that the people who pay their claims. So I don't know what happens in the other cases, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dennis. All right. Thanks much for your view.
No problem, sir. And look, if we're going to be looking at tightening up our regulations, because let me say this, if we're going to be going to international agencies and asking for money, in the current environment, worldwide, these are the agencies that people are going to be looking at, you know. How tight is your regulatory framework for financial institutions, insurance companies, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, your ducks got to be in a row. It ain't business as usual. And we're talking about attracting international business and international businesses under scrutiny in their jurisdictions. We had better make sure that the agencies we set up to monitor things in Barbados, one, have teeth, and two, follow the regulations that we have in place. Or else we can be, I don't know, swimming against the tide and have a worse reputation than we seem to be developing for ourselves. It's not a good one. Thanks for sharing with us, sir. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
I'm still on the insurance vein of your discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I was employed by a company who has changed hands in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And they entertain group insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in the group insurance. The thing that I got with the group insurance is that if you go to the doctor, say for 3 months period, and you have submitted the results from the doctor where payment is concerned, and you have missed by 2 days, the insurance company refused to pay you because you missed by 2 days. I think that is not right, Mr. Johnson. I think that is not right. What's your opinion, sir?
Sir, I don't know what the contract says, so I can't tell you whether it's right or not. Insurance contracts are set up between parties, and they agree to the terms and conditions. I have had my own challenges with my condition and insurance companies and group health in particular. So I know it varies from company to company and depends on what the contract says. And as I said, I had personal issues, so I won't say without knowing for sure whether yours is fair or unfair, but I know that they are. I have had issues with mine.
All right, sir. But at the end of the day, you know, the insurer still have to pay a premium for the year.
Mm-hmm,
the insurer still have to pay a premium for the year. If it's $500, $600, $700, the insurer still have to pay a premium for the year. So I don't think that the insurance should take that step, at least estimate like 2 days, that they're not honoring the claim that you have submitted. Anyhow,
so that's why I said it depends on the contract, because there are contracts that say you have to make a claim by a certain period of time. And if you don't do it by that period of time, then you're in default. And which is why I said, I don't know what the contract you have says.
Yes, sir, but I have not seen that contract, sir.
I know that. Well, you see, perhaps you should ask what the contract is. You should see it. Because if a contract, you know, as I said again, I have some issues because there are times when people enter into contracts without telling you all the terms and conditions. They gloss it over, or you gloss it over, and you end up in a situation where it is only when something comes up that you look at it and suddenly realize, wait, so I can't do this, or it doesn't cover that, or I have to file by 2 weeks or a week or 10 days or within a month, or else I'm not going to get anything, while some go up to months. You know, you have sometimes 3 to 6 months to file a claim. So contracts are things that we need to pay attention to, insurance contracts in particular. And that's why they have to be regulated. Okay, sir. Brass Tacks, 434-1790. Lots of people talking about their accidents with various institutions, and somebody saying that a reminder that the Supervisor of Insurance now falls under Financial Services Commission, which is what I thought, as I said to the caller. I think it has gone to them. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello? Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment regarding a statement made by the Prime Minister last week with regard to the buses, when she called back the inspectors. I just want to know if this matter has been explained to the public or if there's been some clarification why these people were called back in the island, because from what I'm hearing, it seems as if it was a knee-jerk reaction to what transpired. I don't know if it was explained to the public, but I would like them to come out and say if the reason they were called back was because of the fact that the information wasn't passed on to some of the members on the tour. It is my understanding that it is normal process that whenever the government is buying vehicles of that nature, they normally send out somebody from one of the companies here in Barbados, and that they go along.
How would they know?
Pardon me?
How would they know?
How would they know?
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that they were invited by the sanitation department.
We get that information from?
Would like that clarified?
Where you get that information from?
I am saying my understanding is that
Here's my thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot ask for a clarification on information that's not in the public domain.
Mm-hmm. My problem at the time when it was mentioned was why wasn't the name of the company mentioned? That was my problem. If you're talking about transparency and exposing the things to the public and so on and so on, why wasn't the name of the company mentioned when she indicated that this company was at every stop that they were going to make? I would really like them to come out, because you cannot allow people to be making these types of statements, talking about transparency, talking about corruption, accusing people of corruption, and then you find yourself in a bind not being able to expose or tell the public who or why these people were there. My understanding is that the people had legitimate reasons to be there.
So again, you are putting a case that is not in the public domain in the public domain.
But
and you're asking for a clarification.
Sir,
but no, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. You've just said that mm-hmm. you're making allegations, and that's exactly what you're doing.
Okay. Well, I want them to come and to say whether it's true or not.
Okay.
Anything wrong with that? If they're talking about transparency, come and let us know the name of the company.
You see, again, if I come on air, right, and say to you, I want you to say that you are not Mr. So-and-so that I see climbing through my window last night. I want you to dispute that. You think that's being fair to you?
You're telling me,
no,
right?
No. I am asking you a question before you tell me
anything.
Everything
is fair to me?
Uh-huh.
No, but you're...
Good. Okay, so hold on.
You go on.
Hold on. A statement was made by the Prime Minister at some meeting. It was at a mm-hmm. meeting she had attended, right? And
right.
she did not call the name of a company. Subsequently, hold on a minute now, sir. I just trying to walk through this with you. Okay, so you ask why? No problem with that. I subsequently saw the name of a company mentioned in the newspapers or online somewhere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anybody say yes, it was, or no, it wasn't, in an official capacity. I saw the name. You're also putting additional information that you say it is common practice that mm-hmm. this would be passed on and representatives would be there.
I
don't know that it's common practice either. But what you're saying is that somebody should refute the statements you've made. I'm asking you, if the person did not say in the first place, I don't question the ask of where is the transparency if you don't say Person X or Company X was there. We had some suspicions as to why they were there, how they got the information, so they pull them back. Fine. But when you put information in the public domain and say refute it, I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Because right. I don't know what it's based on.
Well, I would have done my research as well.
Okay.
But I want to also say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That not every comment that is made in this atmosphere now is, well, based on some information that I've been privy to, it would appear as this to me, that certain things are going to be said in the public because the public is going to grab at them because of the corruption, the air of corruption in the air. And therefore, people are not going to be able to see through some of the statements, and they're not going to be able to see
the
real.
So how come you see through them?
Right?
How come you see through them?
Because how come I see through them?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have journalistic instinct.
Precisely, sir. And this is the problem I always have when people say people will not do this and people will not do that. I keep asking where we get that impression from, that people won't do it. Sir, listen, anybody who is not blinded by whatever they're blinded by will ask questions of any statement that is made by anybody that doesn't ring true to them.
They should.
What, sir? They do. Trust me, they do.
Okay.
I mean, listen. When you meet people in the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to them one on one, and somebody says to you, "I hear so and so and so and so." You really believe that? And they ask you that question. You think they have any particular instincts that make them ask that, or just don't sound right to them?
Some of them repeat verbatim what they are told.
Because they're blinded, which is what I just said to you. And they know that what they're saying is blinded too, but they will not admit that.
They think so.
Don't think that they don't know. If you believe that they don't know, sir, you're as blind as they are. So there are people who come here, right, and ask me all kind of questions and go all around the bush. And I sit down, I pretend to be stupid. The reason why I do it is because I'm waiting on them to trip over their shoelaces. Because I know they're not as stupid as they pretend to be, and they're not as stupid as they want me to think they are.
But
they do it for a reason.
I am going to be one of those persons who will be listening very carefully, because that particular statement, when I heard it, the first question I asked was, why didn't she make the announcement of the name of the company that was there, okay? And I found that very, very curious and very, very strange. I'm raising it now because I want them to come and say the name of the company.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. 434-1790. Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. This thought about the trucks and people returning. What I would like to know is get straight to the point. I would like that when they do decide to get the trucks, and I hope it is soon, God willing, that we will get trucks that don't be dropping all the slush all over the road. One went up in the gap. We didn't get a collection for quite a while, and when it didn't come, oh my God. Children complaining the road, had to wash it on the road with the hoses. I know there are trucks overseas that might be a bit expensive, but I think it would be profitable for us to buy proper trucks so that, because we don't got the money now, so we don't want to be taking our kids to the doctor after the truck pass, because we don't have money to do that. So please, those who are...
Ma'am, how does the slush get in the truck?
Well, sometimes the rain falls in the garbage can. They tend to put holes in the bottom of the can, but yet you find that sometimes the rain blow off the cover and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
is it because we're putting the wrong things in the garbage?
But maybe that can be so too.
Okay.
But Mr. Johnson, if the trucks are built with some kind of container to hold that slush, which is not impossible, we could send men to the moon, and yet we can't do certain things that are necessary. That slush, even like when you're going across the road, the main road to the bus ball or anything, you got to be dodging this thing on morning to get to the... On top of if the rain falls, it's all in the gutter. We need trucks that would hold that and dump it when they get to that place where they dump the thing. That's what I would like to see. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Ma'am, David tackled it yesterday, and... he had a discussion with the minister. He had a discussion with Cammie Holder from the Future Center Trust. We have got to make some decisions about how we live our lives, how we treat our environment, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat our neighbors. Maybe the same way we've gone with Adopt a Kilometer and having our highway tidied by good corporate citizens. Perhaps we reached a stage at some point where households, neighborhoods would have garbage receptacles color-coded, red bottles, blue plastic, green newspaper and so on. And we would learn to sort our garbage, that we would have trucks, as you say, that carry receptacles for the sludge coming out of the truck. Maybe at some point we'd stop putting entrails in bags and tossing it along the Bell Road and Cart Roads and other people's property, because apparently the mosquitoes in St. Philip don't bite anybody in St. George. Or the rats in Christchurch don't do anything to the people in St. Peter. Apparently they're very parochial. They don't cross the road. They only stay on one side. And they only affect the empty lot down the road because it ain't close to our home. And if it's running across the road by the bus stop, well, we can always walk across and stand by the other side and hope that nobody passes and splashes us. You see how it gets wrong to what we do and how it affects how we live. I hear about the trucks. I hear about the expense, and I hear about the government fixing it. But until we start fixing some things ourselves, we ain't going nowhere, you know.